to the Relentless CEO Podcast. With Adam Kiefer. Follow your path to success alongside icons and industry leaders in martial arts, fitness, and more. Let's go. This is the Relentless CEO Podcast.
It's official. It is 2024. And now that it's a new year, we're not talking about New Year's resolutions. Fuck that shit. We are talking about how to strategically plan success for the next year. And I'm going to go with you guys step by step the exact way that I plan out success for all of our companies. All of our companies this last year saw incremental growth throughout the entire year, and that was by design. So join me for a brand new episode of the Relentless CEO Podcast as we strategically plan out your success for this next year. Welcome, everyone. Really excited to be whiteboarding with you guys today and just sort of breaking down how I do systematic success planning for every single year for all of our companies. Now, a couple of things that we want to keep in mind before we start jumping right into this is, number one, I highly encourage everyone to go back and audit 2023. So go through and look at all of your numbers for the year and look at, make a list of what are the stuff that like we're really proud of that we did well, make a list of the things that you learned lessons from or could have done better. So that way, when we're going to 2024, we're going into a new year, we're not gonna be making the same mistakes as last year. We can learn from some of the experiences that we went through. Also, we can look back at last year and see, hey, those things that we did really well that actually helped us to grow and project us forward, we want to keep doing those things. So let's make note of those things so that we can make sure we have repeat success with the things that actually did work coming into this new year. Now, once you guys have done that, it's really important to make sure that you understand how to goal set and really how to make this a systematic process to the point where, you know, I need X number of leads per month, I need X number of trials, new members, all of that stuff, upgrades. And we're going to teach you guys exactly how to do that today. So the very first thing you need is you need your goal, okay? So I recommend as a minimum goal to shoot for is a 20% increase. Now, if you're in the car listening to this and you're like, man, I'm not gonna remember all this math or understand how he's doing this, just go watch the YouTube version because you'll be able to see me do it on the whiteboard. It'd be way easier to understand. But minimum our goal is gonna be 20% increase in growth. Now, Adam, why are you putting 20% as a marker for growth? All right, if you increase 20% year over year for 5 years, that's 100% increase over 5 years, pretty damn good, right? But also think about this. This number 9%, this is like what I call the ride or die number. Here's why. Inflation on average is gonna go up by 9%, right? So if I don't have at least 9% growth, I'm actually going backwards. So for example, if we say that inflation on average is 9% year over year, and this is just a number we're throwing out there right now based on previous years. But if it's 9% and my business only grew 5%, guess what? I didn't even keep up with inflation. So really, we didn't grow 5%. We decreased our revenue by 4%. So hopefully that makes sense. So this number, you have to have in your mind and know that you can't set a 10% revenue goal and expect to see like a drastic change in your numbers because your expenses are going to increase about 9% over the year, which means you're really going to grow by 1%. All right, so I hope that makes sense, but I think 20% is always a pretty attainable goal for a majority of businesses. If you are a more aggressive person, you want to go bigger than this, awesome. Like we've had years where we grew by 200%, but it was very early on in the company, right? So 20% I think is going to be a good starting point for most of you guys. And the way that we're actually going to break this down is so you can actually have a few off months throughout the year and still hit this 20% number even having a few off months throughout the year. So let's just take a martial arts school and we're going to call this ABC Martial Arts. ABC Martial Arts is doing on average 20,000 per month. And this is a totally fictional made up martial arts school, okay? But I would say the average of the schools that we work with, when they first start working with us, they're usually around that 20,000 mark. So let's say school's doing $20,000 a month. So we know that number is 240,000 per year. Okay, if our goal is to increase our revenue by 20%, that means I'm gonna need to make up an extra $48,000 for the year. So 20% of 240,000 is gonna be $48,000, which means our new goal, when we just break it down by dollars, okay, is going to be $288,000. For 2024 for ABC Martial Arts, okay? So again, let's say last year revenue they did was 240. They want to increase by 20%, so they have some growth. They have some more their money to put in their pocket. So $48,000 increase has to happen to hit that 20% mark, which is going to leave us with a yearly goal of $288,000, all right? So hopefully you're staying with me so far on the math. Now, this 288 is the number that we are going to focus on to start with, and I'm going to show you what most people do when they are doing goal setting for their business, which I think is totally the incorrect way to go about this, and we'll break everything down so it's super easy to understand. Okay, so we're sticking with this 288,000 number, right? Here is what a majority of business owners do when they're like, man, our yearly revenue has to be this number. They take 288,000 and then they just divide it by 12 and they're like, all right, and that's, now I know what I have to hit every month. I just need to hit 24,000 a month. And then at the end of the year, I times that by 12, I'm going to be at $288,000. This is very flawed logic, though. Here's why. If you're doing goal setting this way, we're going to assume that last year you averaged 20 grand a month. Okay, so let's say December, okay, we hit 20,000. And then if I'm doing goal setting this way, I'm pretty much saying that, oh, in January, we're going to hit $24,000. Now, is that doable? Yeah, it can be, depending on what's going into your marketing and how good you are at enrolling people and converting leads. But a $4,000 jump in billing is going to be pretty difficult for most people. Okay, $4,000 jump in billing from one month to the other, right? If we think, let's just say ABC Martial Arts is doing $200 a month memberships, okay? That means they're going to need to get at least 20 memberships to get that $4,000 increase. So they're going to have to sign up 20 people. And that also means this is only based on like net zero, losing nobody, which let's say they were losing 5 people a month. Now, instead of 20 members to sign up to hit that number, I have to hit 25. Because I have to make up for the 5 that I lost and then add on 20 more new members so that I can get a plus $4,000 billing. And basically what's happening is January is going to be a crazy ass month then doing this, because I got to focus on jumping up $4,000 in the first month of the year. And then if I don't get that, now I'm really behind the eight ball, when we can strategically set this up so it's an incremental growth, which makes it a much less stressful approach to increasing our revenue, but also doing it according to a plan. So let's jump in how I would recommend doing this. Don't just take your annual goal and divide it by 12, because you're going to put some unneeded stress on you, and we can actually probably do better than this. So we're still going to focus on that $288,000 mark. Here's how I break down goals, okay? For growth goals, we're going to focus on a term you've heard me talk about before, which is net billing. Okay, net billing is the increase or decrease in your billing from one month to the next. For example, let's say in November I did $18,000 in billing. And this is probably one of the most important growth metrics you'll ever track. So let's say this is, November, we did $18,000 in billing. And then let's say December comes along and we did $20,000. In billing. Okay, the net billing for December is just comparing it to the previous month. So we would have a net billing in this case. We went from 18,000 to 20,000. So our net billing would be positive $2,000, which would be a great month. So this is how net billing is calculated. Now, net billing can also be negative. If we just switch these numbers around and let's say we killed it in November with billing, but December we had a lot of cancellations. Okay, so let's say we did 20,000 in November and only 18 in December. Okay, from November to December, if we went 20,000 to 18,000, we technically went down $2,000 in billing, which means our net billing is now going to be a negative number, negative $2,000. All right. So I just want to make sure everyone understands how net billing works. Okay. So when we set goals for our team at our martial arts schools, we are setting net billing goals. So they get bonus based on hitting a net billing goal. Because the thing that's great about net billing is that this number alone takes into account upgrades, enrollments, and cancellations all in one number. Okay. Because if I'm at $200 a month, like we talked about earlier, okay, let's say I lose 5 students at $200 a month. Okay, I am now at a negative net billing of $1,000 because I lost 5 students at $200 a month, right? Let's say also we got 5 upgrades this month and those upgrades were at $100 each. So they upgraded to a black belt club, leadership, something like that. Okay, so now I've added $500 in billing. And then let's say we enrolled 6 people at $200 a month for the same month. Okay, that's going to be an addition of $1,200 in billing. So now when we look at net billing with this equation, okay, we started off losing 5 at $200 a month, so we're negative $1,000 in net billing. Good news is we upgraded 5 people at $100 a month, so we get to add $500 into our net billing, so now we're only negative $500, okay? And then we added 6 new members at $200, okay, which is adding $1,200 more to our net billing. So after this first stage, we are negative $500, then we add $1,200, and then what would happen is our net billing would end for the month at plus $700. So we know that we grew by $700 in recurring revenue that month in a combination of enrollments, upgrades, and then the cancellations that factor into that. All right. Now, most of your CRMs calculate net billing. They don't always do it correctly, though. So I always like to manually go through it because I find a lot of errors in the ways that some of the CRMs are calculating net billing. So I encourage you guys just to keep a spreadsheet and do it yourself so that way you can make sure that the numbers are accurate. All right, now, how do we plan this out for the year now that we know our net billing? All right, so we're gonna go back to ABC Martial Arts. Okay, December, we know that they did $20,000 in billing. So what do we do for 2024? All right, so I like to split this up quarterly. So we're gonna do Q1, and you guys can write this out the same as me on a piece of paper. Q2, Q3, Q4. So if you guys aren't familiar with quarters, it's just 3 months per quarter, right? And this helps us to sort of break this down a bit more. Okay, so we have this $48,000 gap we need to make up from last year to this year to hit our goal of $288,000. And we know that we're starting off with an existing billing from December of $20,000. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna set net billing goals to get us to a certain area. And I'm gonna cheat and pull up my notes so I can make sure I'm writing this correctly. All right, so for Q1, we're not trying to make $4,000 in billing in 1 month. If you do, awesome, good job, keep doing that. But our goal is gonna be simple. It's gonna be get to $21,000 in billing, which is again gonna be a plus 1K net billing goal. All right. And then basically what we're going to do is we're going to follow this pattern. So February, we're going for 22,000, which again will be a plus 1K net billing goal. Okay. 23,000 for March. Now, Adam, what happens if we don't hit our net billing goal in January? The way I do this, which may not work for you, but it's the way that I do it, is let's say we only got plus 500 billion in January. So let's say we ended with $12,500 in billion. We fell $500 short of our goal of $21,000. Well, then our net billing goal for February now becomes $1,500 because we got to make up for missing the goal the previous month to get us back on track, right? This is the way that I would run it for my schools. Okay, there's going to be some wiggle room as you're going to see in this, but I just want to make you guys aware of that. If you hit your goal, you don't just forget it. Or I mean, if you miss your goal, you don't forget it. You still got to make up for that so that you can hit your end of year goal, okay? Now, Q2 comes along. So now we have, January, February, March for Q1, and then April, May, June for Q2. So the way I do this is we're going to keep this trend going for a little bit. So I'm going to go 24,000 is the goal now. for the first month of Q2, which again is going to be plus 1K. All right, and then month two, so going to be what, May? We're going to shoot plus 1K again. So here's the cool thing about this already is 5 months into the year, we're already bringing in $5,000 more in billing, right? And then summer starts. For most schools, we're going to make this a 0K net billing goal. So that means that our net billing goal is to make sure that we break even. Here's why this makes sense for the martial arts industry. When is like a big fall off month for a lot of us? Going into summer, right? So our goal in going into summer is purely retention focused that month. That doesn't mean to stop running ads. It doesn't mean to stop enrolling people. But our goal is to make sure that our retention is the main focus. So we're fine if we break even in June because we've already had $5,000 of billing growth up to this point, and we're still going to be able to hit our numbers, okay? So in the first two quarters of the year at this rate, we are now at $140,000 in billing. Okay, and if you remember our goal is to get 288. So Adam, it's 6 months in, and guess what? You're behind the eight ball. You should be at $144,000 halfway through the year. Wrong. Okay, we're going to make it up the rest of the year because now guess what? When we averaged this out over 12 months, we knew it was $24,000 a month. We're already above $24,000, which means we're going to make this up in Q3 and Q4. No problem to get back on track. So now we're into July, August, September now for Q3, and we're going to go back to that $1,000 goal. So we're going to go 26,000, 27,000, 28,000. Okay, and these are all plus $1,000 net billing goals. And if we stick with $1,000 net billing goals for this ABC Martial Arts in this scenario, whatever they're charging per member, they just need to get to plus 1,000, all right? So same thing for you guys, all right? And then let's look at Q4. Q4 can get funky sometimes. So we're going to make sure October, which we had a great October this year, we're going for that plus $1,000 in net billing. And then November and December, we're going to provide some grace here. So November, we're going to go 30,000, so still plus 1K. But then December, guess what? We're going to shoot for the same goal, 30,000. Okay, again, one of the harder months, not saying you can't do it, one of the harder months to sign up people, higher lead cost in December. So we're going to give ourselves a grace month in both June and December. Okay, which means, let's say you have a great June and you hit your goal. Now we're just ahead, right? And we still have room with how this plays out where you might miss your goal a couple months but still be okay in your overall goal for the year, which is how we want to set this up. So that way, if we do have a month, like maybe my manager quits in the first month of Q2, and then maybe because of that, I take a hit and I don't hit my goal in month two, I'm still going to be okay based on how we have this set up. So just to show you guys, the second half of the year that many of you guys might have been worried about, if we hit these numbers, we're now at 170,000. Okay, which means overall, we're now at, if everything goes perfect, $310,000. When we had a goal of 288,000, okay? And here's what I said, like, we can afford to have a bad month or two throughout the year. I'm not encouraging you to, but we can afford this. And still, let's say we come out $10,000 short based on this plan. I'm still at $300,000, I still hit my goal. Even if I'm $20,000 short, I'm still at $290,000, and I still hit my goal. So we have some wiggle room to have a few bad months, okay? Now, if we look at this and we see that most of our goals is going to be net billing goals of $1,000 in this scenario, let's break this down more so we know exactly what that means month to month. Okay. I'm going to erase this. You can always rewind and screenshot if you need. All right, let's jump into breaking this down more. All right, so we know net billing is $1,000. We're gonna pretend that on a $20,000 school, I'm gonna say that everyone's paying $200 a month, which I know might not be the case, but that's all right. Okay, so we're gonna say this school, ABC Martial Arts, has currently 100 members training at $200 a month to get their $20,000 to start the year, okay? So we're just gonna go off of those numbers. Then we're gonna assume that they're at a 5% attrition, that they're losing 5% of their student base every month, which makes it easy. So we're gonna say on average, they're losing 5 members per month. What does that mean? Okay, well, that means if they're losing 5 members per month, that they're also losing $1,000 in billing a month, which means if our net billing goal is 1,000, we have to not only sign up 5 to replace the 5 that they're losing a month, but we're gonna have to sign up an additional 5 to make sure that we hit our goal. So we need to make sure that our membership goal is 10 members. Okay, we also have upgrade goals for our school. So we usually have a 5-person upgrade goal. But for a school that only has 100 students, that probably wouldn't be realistic. So that might be like a 3-member upgrade goal. Okay, and basically what I do is when I write this out, upgrades are extra to me. So we'll still have an upgrade goal of 3 per month at $100 per month or whatever it might be for your school. Right now we have a goal of 7 at MX. But let's say this is our goals. I'm going to make my net billing goal just based on new members. And then any upgrades that come in are just going to still count towards our net billing goal. But I don't factor those in as like we need these to get to our net billing goal. What I do factor in is that we need new members to get to our net billing goal. And then the upgrades, adding more upgrades, will give us some wiggle room if we don't necessarily hit 10 new members. So maybe I get 9 new members, but I get my 3 upgrades. I'm still going to hit my net billing goal of $1,000. Okay, I hope that makes sense to everyone. All right, so this is what's really important right now, though. We're going to focus on this 10-member number. All right, so what does that mean to me? Well, now I'm starting to get a glance here at monthly goal setting, right? So I know every month I need, let's just put a membership goal or member goal. So I figured out how many new members I need by taking average members lost per month, okay, making sure we replace those lost members with new members, and then adding however memberships on top of that gets us to our net billing goal, okay, which we just did. So now we know that our goal is 10 members per month. Well, that's a good start, but I still need to break this down more because I need to know how many trials do I need to get 10 new members per month, and I also need to know how many leads do I need to get to 10 members per month. Because if I have all of those numbers, guess what? Now I have really accurate goal setting in place to help me engineer towards this goal, which is going to engineer towards the 288,000 by the end of the year, that 20% growth, right? So going back from this, I need to know a very specific number, which is my closing percentage to figure this out. Closing percentage, really easy, guys. And you need to look at this at least over a 90-day time period. Don't just look at it at 1 month because you might just have had a killer month or you might have a terrible month. 90 days gives you more accurate. If you can look at it over the course of a year, even better. So closing percentage is just number of people that showed compared to enrolled. Okay, so for example, let's say we have 20 shows and then out of those 20, 10 enroll. Okay, I'm enrolling half the people that showed up. I now have a 50% closing percentage, which if that's you, you need to join Martial Arts Systems and start using our sales success system so you get to 85%. Okay, but we need to know what our closing percentage is. So if you don't have this and you haven't been tracking it, I would just look at over the last year, if you can, otherwise do 90 days at the very minimum. Okay, look at how many people showed up compared to how many members enrolled. Okay, that's gonna give you an accurate closing percentage number. All right, I'm gonna use the industry average. And again, I don't think you should ever shoot for averages because average is mediocrity. Burnoff says average sucks. So let's just say though, we go with industry average of 50%, okay? So if I'm enrolling 50% of the people that show up to my school and I know that I need to get 10 members to hit my net billing goal, then what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna multiply this by 2. So I know I need 20 trials a month to get 10 new members if I'm historically closing at 50%. Now, some people mess this up when they goal set because like, oh, I want to get better at closing percentage, which is you should want to get better at closing percentage. But what happens oftentimes is They're like, you know what? We're going to enroll 75% in January. So we only need 15 trials to get 10 members. We're like, how do you know you're magically going to increase your closing percentage by 25%? You don't. So making that goal is unrealistic. You want to go over what the historical data shows for your business. If the historical data shows that you are a 50% closer, then you need to go over a 50% closing percentage, right? If you're historically a 75% closer, then yes, you don't need as many trials, okay? Now all of a sudden you just need 15 trials to get 10 members, all right? So hopefully you guys understand how to figure out exactly how many trials that you need in order to get the members that you want. Now we need to go a step further with this now, which is if I know I need 20 trials, how many leads do I need in order to get 20 trials? All right, go on industry average. Again, stop being fucking average. All right, industry average 20% lead to trial conversion, all right? Which means, let's say we had 100 leads. If I'm at an industry average for conversion percentage, that means I need 100 leads to get 20 trials. Okay, so basically, if I wanna figure this out, again, you're gonna take at least a 90-day snapshot of this, okay? But how many leads total did I have over the last 90 days? And how many trials did that come out to? So let's say we had like 280 leads. Let's go last. Let's say we had 80 leads over the last 90 days, which means you should hire a Relentless Media Agency. But let's say we had 80 leads. We divide that. And let's say each month we average like 15 trials. Okay, so 80 leads a month divided by 15. All right, that means that I am doing a terrible job closing. But it's okay. We'll figure it out. 18%. All right. So I would need to make sure that if I'm getting 80 leads and closing at 18%, but I need to get to 20 trials, then I either need to do one or two things. I need to make my lead conversion percentage better, which hopefully it does, but you can't plan on that. Or I just need to change the numbers. So if 18 trials and I'm closing at 50% only gets me 9 members, then I need to get to probably 100 leads to get 18 trials. So I need to probably get to like 108 leads to get to my 20 trials. To make sure that I'm hitting the numbers that I need. So you guys are just gonna work backwards with the math to figure out, all right, if I need 10 new members a month and I know I need 20 trials, historically, what am I converting at? So let's say it's 18%. I'm gonna use my calculator here. Sorry, we're not screen sharing. Okay, which means I'm gonna need 111 leads. I just do 20 divided by 0.18. Okay, if I know I need 20 trials divided by 0.18, which would mean that I need 111 leads if I'm historically converting at 18%, because 18% of 111 gets me 20 trials. Hopefully that makes sense. We're gonna make this easy and we're just gonna stick with that 20% marker. So in this scenario, 100 leads will get me 20 trials if I'm converting 20% of those leads into paid trials, okay? All right, now, this has now been broken down for us. So here we go, we now have monthly goals. So I need 100 leads a month in this scenario, okay? I need 20 trials per month, okay? And out of that, I need to get 10 new members. Now, I'm gonna assume that throughout the year, you're gonna start getting a little bit better at some of these things, okay? Maybe because you're using martial arts systems, maybe you're following us, you're listening to the podcast, you're getting good information that's helping you get better and more efficient at what you do. Here's the cool thing about this, right? If I'm normally converting 20% leads to trials, what happens if I get that up to 30%? Now, all of a sudden, on those same 100 leads, I'm getting 30 trials, okay, which means if, even if I'm closing at 15 or at 50% like I have been historically, now all of a sudden I'm getting 15 members out of the same amount of leads because I got better at phone conversations and converting leads to trials. Let's say lead stays at 100 and you're still converting 20% lead to trials, so you still have 20 trials, but let's say your closing percentage increases and you're at 75% closing percentage, guess what? 20 trials is now giving me 15 members. So if you get better at lead conversion, guess what? More members. You get better at trial conversion, guess what? More members. This number will start to become easier and easier to hit as a result. So what I wanna encourage you guys to do is go through the same thing with your numbers, all right? So we're gonna just recap this all because I went over a lot of math, okay? We're just gonna put this in the steps for you. Okay, and the last thing that we're gonna focus on after this is how to plan for profit, okay? So let's say we're gonna start with a 20% growth plan. All right, which is I think the minimum everyone should start with. Okay, you just had to figure out, all right, what is 20% of last year's revenue? Okay, that's gonna be your growth goal. Then you're gonna add
the revenue from last year plus the 20% in dollars to equal your 2024 goal for revenue. Okay, so now you have this yearly goal broke up, right? I would say when you guys break this up, okay, first of all, understand where you need to get for the monthly by the halfway point of the year. So in this case, we knew that we had to be above $24,000 a month based on 288 divided by 12. We had to be above $24,000 per month by the halfway point to make sure that we make up for growth in the second half of the year, all right? So I add last year's revenue plus the 20% increase. That's my new 2024 goal, okay? And then I'm gonna plan via net billing goals, okay, how to get that money or that revenue number by the halfway point and then continue to increase by at least $1,000 a month. Okay, so plan via net billing to, let's say June, hit monthly goal. Okay, so again, in the model that we did, we knew that 288 divided by 12 is $24,000. So we knew we had to get to 24,000 by June. Okay, so we had to, over that 6 month period, I had to at least make up $4,000 a month by adding $1,000 net billing here or there based on the model that we laid out earlier. Okay, and then as long as I hit that 24 by the midway point and then I keep adding to it throughout the rest of the year, it gives me that wiggle room, okay? So from here, I'm now gonna plan out monthly revenue goal and net billing goal monthly, okay? I'm gonna figure out how many members equals net billing goal, so how many new members, okay? Once I know how many new members I need to hit this goal. And remember, you have to factor in your attrition from last year. If you're losing 5%, you need to make up for that 5% that you're losing and then add on more members on top of that to get to your net billing goal for new members. Once I figure out new members, then I'm gonna reverse engineer based on my closing percentage to see how many trials I need. If you don't do paid trials, it's appointments to get to new member goal. And then, if I can spell, then I need to figure out, well, how many leads do I need to get to trial goal? Okay, so at this point, I know lead amount, trial amount, new member amount per month, net billing goal per month. So we figured out our four monthly goals. The very last part is if you're doing paid advertising, well, what is the amount of money that's gonna you're gonna need to spend to get that many leads, okay? Or to get those numbers. And for that, you just need to know your cost per acquisition, guys. Here's a really easy formula for cost per acquisition. So cost per acquisition is how much it costs you to essentially buy a new member for your school via marketing. So let's say I spend $1,000 in marketing in a month, all right? I'm just gonna keep the math really simple for this, okay? Let's say $1,000 in marketing gets me 10 new members. Okay, my cost per acquisition or my cost to buy a member is just gonna be $1,000 divided by 10, which means cost me $100 in ad spend to buy a new member. Okay, here's the cool thing. When you figure out cost per acquisition, you just reverse engineer and you know exactly what you need to spend to get your membership goal. So let's say I had a goal of 20 members. And again, I'm just throwing arbitrary numbers out there. This has nothing to do with the past numbers we went over. But let's say I have a goal of getting 20 members. Based on this goal, if I'm planning on these all coming from digital marketing, I know that my cost per acquisition is $100 per member. If I need 20 members, you just do 20. So number of member goal times cost per acquisition. I now know that I need to spend $2,000 a month in advertising if I want to get to 20 members based on those members costing $100 each. All right, so I hope that makes sense. The last part we're gonna talk about is just making sure that we're planning profit. Okay, I have a request for everyone that is watching, listening, all the above. Can we make this word more important than how many students you have, more important than your revenue, and more important than all the other BS vanity numbers that get thrown out there? When I say vanity numbers, I mean, we see a lot of school owners, even consultants, just throw numbers out there that really don't have any meaning by themselves. They're just throwing them out there to get eyes on them and make them feel good, all right? It's funny, when we had our best month ever, we did 84,000 at MX, And when I posted it, I also posted how much of that money we actually got to keep as well, which I don't remember what it was. I think it was like 26 or 30,000, something like that, that we got to keep out of that. That number is more important than the revenue. Here's why. Tell me which school you would rather have. All right, we have a $1 million school. Okay, and let's say we have a school doing $500,000 a year. Let's say this $1 million school has 10% profit margins, okay, which means at the end of the year in their bank account left over, they have $100,000 on 10% margins. Okay, not bad. So the owners got to pay themselves $100,000 from that school. Or we have a $500,000 school, and let's just go, we'll go realistic here. We'll say 25% margins. Which one would you rather have? $1 million school with 10% margins or a $500,000 school with 25% margins? Well, Adam, it depends what that second number is. Well, the second number is 125,000. I would rather have the second one. I would rather have higher margins, lower revenue, more profit. And guess what? I can almost assume, just throwing this out there, that this school also has less members, most likely, which also means that my payroll is probably going to be less because I have less members to manage. And it means that my dollar is going to stretch farther. Okay, I can have maybe 2 or 3 staff members instead of 6 to 9 staff members for this one. And I'm still profiting more because I'm focused on these margins, right? So let's talk about how we keep money, because profit is really just the money that you keep. A good book that a lot of this comes from is called Profit First. This book completely changed how I run and operate the money part of the business, okay? So if we think about just the term profit, right? Most people do this. They're like, revenue minus expenses equals profit, which essentially they're saying, I collect money, I spend money, and then I should have something left over. All right, the problem with this model is a majority of business owners do bank account accounting, meaning they open up their bank app, they look at how much money they have in their account today, and then make decisions based on that for the future, which means if there's money in the account, they're probably going to find a way to spend it, which means what's left over at the end, a big fat zero. I can't tell you guys how many school owners I've talked to that first quarter of the year where they're like, my accountant said I made $250,000 in profit last year, but I have none of that in my bank account. Well, guess what? Then you didn't make $250,000 in profit last year, right? It should still be in your bank account if you made it, if you kept it, right? If it's owner's pay, that's a different subject, but we'll talk about that later. All right, so how do we plan for profit first? So what Profit First, the book, pretty much says is profit plus expenses equals revenue. So profit is no longer the leftovers now. Profit is the main focus. If you guys read The 5 Levels of Leadership by John Maxwell, or any John Maxwell book, he always talks about keeping your eye on the red ball, right? So in your business, you have a lot of responsibilities. And let's just say those are all yellow balls that you are juggling to keep people happy, your members happy, to keep your team happy, to make sure bills are paid, that systems are installed, all of those things. All of those are yellow balls. But there's one red ball in your business, and that is the profit ball, okay? Which means no matter what yellow ball you are juggling, your eye is still always going to be on that red ball all the time in all your decision-making, okay? Because it's about keeping money. That's the whole point of creating a business. So you keep money, you can build a legacy, you can provide people with more opportunities. So here's what I recommend doing, and this is sort of like a modified version of what they cover in Profit First, okay? We're going to talk about bank accounts. I'm going to go very entry level on this. There's a much more advanced version that we teach in our mastermind, but let's start super simple. Okay, most companies, they have a checking account, savings, credit card. Okay, expenses usually on the credit card. They take out a checking to pay the credit card at the end of the month, and then very little that's left over, do a tiny arrow, goes into savings. I hate all of this, all right? Here's what we do. And I'm gonna teach this to you guys the way I did it because I was very undisciplined with money, especially early on in my entrepreneur career. So we have, in this case, say bank one, bank two. So for me, I'm a Chase client, but I also use Bluevine, which is like an online business bank as well, right? So in bank one, we have what's called our OpEx checking account. It's just a normal business checking account, but this is where all of our operational expenses and things are going to get paid out of, okay? So this is where your bills are getting paid, your payroll is coming out of this, all of this, all right? Now, anytime, let's say we have deposits, most people are putting them straight in here, right? And they just sort of sit in that account until you spend that money. What we're going to teach you is this. I do this once a week on Fridays, okay? We're going to create two more accounts at a different bank. Okay, we're going to have a profit account. And then we're also going to have a tax account as well. What I've been instructed to do, depending on the business, is 15% in the tax account, all right? So let's say it's a Friday for me. I do Financial Fridays. On Fridays, I look at all the deposits that came in, aka all the billing, anything that got paid that came into the business. You don't have to do it on Fridays. I just do it on Fridays. It works for me. Okay, so on Fridays, I look at all the deposits. Out of all those deposits, I take 15% of those deposits, and they go right over here in the tax account at a different bank. Then you're gonna set a profit goal for yourself. Now, again, we need to go off of historical data. So I always say your minimum goal should be a 15% profit goal. But if you only did 5 last year, 15 might not be doable this year. So look at how much did you actually keep from last year. So let's just say you kept 10% last year. 15% would be a good goal to shoot for this year. I would maybe start with 12% the first few months until you have enough wiggle room in there to start adding more to your profit account. What I don't want you to do is, let's say you had zero profit last year and you just start taking 15% out of all your deposits every Friday and you throw them in this profit account. And then at the end of the month, you're like, Adam, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. No shit, because you went from zero profit and tried to just manufacture out of thin air 15% profit without necessarily having extra revenue coming in, all right? So I would say good goals to shoot for are anywhere between 2.5% to 5% increments, like over the course of a year, okay? You can do better than that. I've seen people go from like 10% to 30% before, but that's sort of the rare occasion. So I'd say if you were zero profit last year, then I'm gonna shoot for 5% profit this year, okay? If I was like 10% profit last year, maybe my profit goal for the first 6 months of the year is going to be 12%. And then maybe for the last 6 months, I'm going to make it a 15% goal. Okay. Which means the first 6 months of the year, I'm going to take 12%, put it in that profit account. All right. But here's what we're doing. We're going to, for the purpose of this example, we're going to stick with 15% numbers. All right. So we have 15 and 15, that's 30%. And then we have an extra 60% left over. All right. Well, 15% taxes goes to the tax account in another bank. 15% profit goes in that other bank. I don't have this app on my phone at all. I have no idea. If you ask me right now how much money is in there, I probably could not tell you because I don't look at it. It's out of sight, out of mind on purpose. The end of the year, I will look at it, all right? But this 60% is going into the OpEx account to run the business, do payroll, expenses, and all of that. Now, a couple cool things is gonna happen from this, all right? As long as I stay disciplined, and every Friday putting this money in, at the end of the year, out of my revenue, I have 15% of my revenue in a profit account, which I can now pay myself as an owner distribution, or I could take some of that profit, put it back into the business, maybe we're gonna upgrade the facility or something, but at the end of the year, I got this nice little 15% pot of money sitting in the bank. And then we also have another 15% sitting in this tax account. And by the way, this is everyone's least favorite account to fill. I get it, okay? But would you rather be surprised with a $20,000 tax bill next year that you then have to chunk up and do monthly payments on for like the next 5 years? Or would you rather at the end of the year have $20,000 in your tax account so when you get that bill, you're just like, boom, done? Or even better, you did your 15% saving in your tax account, and let's say at the end of the year you got 20 grand in here. You get a tax bill. The tax bill is $10,000. But Adam, I have $20,000 in my tax account. So after I pay my tax bill, what do I do with that $10,000 that's sitting in there? Couple options. I can take that at the end of the year. I can pay myself an extra $10,000 bonus at the end of the year because I had that left over. I could put it back into the facility. I could also just leave it in that tax account if I want that extra $10,000 buffer for the next year. Okay, so that way maybe if I didn't save enough next year, I'll still be okay because I have that extra $10,000 padding in there. But what I would recommend, and especially if you guys are not super disciplined with your money, like I was early on, is bank one, have your normal checking account, and then find a separate bank to create your profit checking account and your tax checking account. And then every Friday, time block on your calendar, I'm putting money in both those accounts for my business. This is how you plan for profit, okay? You're thinking about profit every single Friday. You're pulling profit. You're pulling taxes every single Friday into those accounts. And now you are starting to keep more of the money that you're making on a monthly and yearly basis. I hope all of this helps. Again, if you're listening to this and you got lost at any point, listening to math is hard. I get it. Go watch the YouTube video. Go watch the video on Spotify where you can actually see the numbers being written on the whiteboard so it's easier to understand. But if we're going to elevate this industry and we're going to push it forward, we have to start running these businesses like a business, not like a hobby, not like a side hustle. We have to be professional CEOs and business people to make sure that we're being strategic about how we grow our business. And I don't want any martial arts schools having to live month to month or paycheck to paycheck when you own the school. Like, let's make this a thriving success for you. Let's have kick-ass classes and kick-ass product on the mat. And then let's also be able to afford things. Jotty has one of my favorite quotes talking about this. And it's funny, I was talking to one of my good friends in the martial arts industry this morning, and he actually quoted Jotty because he's good friends with Jotty as well. But he goes, Jotty says, when I want to go to Hawaii, I only want to have to check my calendar and I don't want to have to check my bank account. That's what we want to get you guys to. When you're making decisions just based on what's best for you and what's best for the business and not just like looking at your account and seeing, do I have enough money to actually make this decision? And it is a step-by-step process. It is a strategic process, okay? No one that I know that's successful now became successful overnight. On social media, it might look that way sometimes, but you're missing the years and years and years of everyday discipline happening behind the scenes to reach that level of success. What we talked about today, knowing and understanding these numbers, planning strategically, this is what the best business owners in the world do. They plan strategically for success. You guys need to do the same thing. If you spend an hour planning out your year, I guarantee that's gonna be one of the most important hours you spent the entire year, because now you have a clear vision and strategy in place of how you need to get to where you wanna be. Guys, thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode of the Relentless CEO Podcast. If you got any value from this at all, please help us out. Please share it. Please send it to your friends. Get others to listen to it, because we cannot change this industry for the better without your help. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next time. We're unstoppable. To the top, we about to go. That CEO, I need to know the impact we about to grow. Competition comical. Straight A1, we on the road. Money focused for the goal. Tell them what they need to know. Yeah, we unstoppable.